Well, we seem to have a few minutes to spare while we're rewinding the tape of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So, in the meantime, here is the first showing of a brand new program.
Face the Smart Alex. Introduced, as always, by Joseph Cooper in his dummy suit.
Well, a very dummy hello, and welcome once again to Face the Smart Alex. And tonight on Face the Smart Alex, our special guests are TV astronomer and understudy to Southwark rubbish tip Patrick Moore, a slimy, smug-looking expression, and sitting behind that, Robin Ray, and finally, one of the most respected personalities in the music business, the bacterium who gave Anthony Newley lockjaw. So, that's the panel on Face to Smart Alex tonight. And first of all, Robin Ray, I'd like you to listen carefully to this piece of music. And now, could you please tell us, Robin, what an awful smart Alec you are?
Certainly, certainly. I hold 57 honorary degrees in music. I know every single composer who ever lived personally. And I am, in general, quite sickeningly smart and clever, and the most brilliant authority on classical music ever in the entire history of civilization.
No, I think you're just guessing there. I'll give you a clue. It's seven words.
How can I be such a creep?
Correct, yes. 2 points for you.
Well, we've had complaints that this edition of Face the Smart Alex is a little too upmarket for most of BBC Two's viewer. So let's feed the programme into the BBC's special Commoner's Muck De-Sophisticator machine and see what comes out.
Hello once again, and welcome to another edition of Junk Box Jury. My name is Noel Edmonds, but that's your problem. And here at the BBC Television Theatre in Purgatory, we're all ready to try and rehash another tired old programme from the 60s, because we can't think of any new ones. And on our panel tonight, we have four more really up-to-date 1980s-type contemporary folk of today and right now. And they are super singing star and modern-day heartthrob Frankie Avalon.
Hello, good evening.
Lead the guitarist with the tornadoes, Heinz.
Hello and good evening.
An exciting new wave artist, the man who played double bass with the Old Seekers and Grindelot.
Alive and evening.
And finally, a man with his finger really on the pulse of the current rock scene, the assistant roadie to Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson.
Hello, good evening.
So, that's the panel. The rules are the same as always. We play extracts from brand new, innovative ITV and BBC television programmes, and afterwards, the panel have to vote on whether the show will be a hit or an ITV comedy series. Here's the first one now. It's from ITV, a fantastically new, never thought of before, radically different programme. A bit.
Good morning, Mr. Flimskins.
Good morning, Doctor. Just take your clothes off, would you please?
Now, I say that.
Oh, sorry, I'm new here.
Yes. Well, what can we do for you then, Mr. Flimskins?
Well, it's my left leg, Doctor.
What about it?
Well, these last few weeks, it's been feeling a bit Scottish. All down the inside.
I see. Just roll up your trousers then, would you please?
Certainly, Doctor.
Not that far. Yes, you're right. Look, you're starting to go a tartan sock all down the right-hand side. And unless I'm very much mistaken, there are traces of a sporran beginning to form up here.
Oh, no.
Yes, I'm afraid it looks dangerously as if you've caught Kenneth McKellar of the knee. Tell me, does it hurt when I say Jimmy Logan is as funny as an amputated foot?
Ooh, ooh. Oh, yes, I'm afraid it does.
Oh, dear. Oh,
what is it, Doctor? What have I got?
It's as I feared, Mr. Simpkins. You have contracted terminal hogmanay.
Oh, my God.
Frankie Avalon, did that do anything for you?
Well, to me, it didn't really seem to have quite the same
flavour as the original series of Ready Steady Goat. In fact, I think...
Go.
Oh, sorry. Ready, steady, go.
No, no, I meant get out.
Oh, right.
And good riddance. A man who played double bass with the old Seekers and Grindelot, any thoughts at all?
Well, I thought it seemed a bit long for a pop program. Long and thin and made of plastic and bent at one end.
I think you may have been listening to the arm of your glasses by mistake.
Sorry.
So let's just vote on that one, shall we? Hit or an ATV comedy? Oh, dear. The panel have voted that overwhelmingly. As we move on to our next offering...
Ah, come in, Simpson. I've been meaning to talk to you.
Sir?
How long have you been working here at the Ajax Tasteful Undertakers and Discount Hardboard Offcuts Warehouse?
What time is it, sir?
4:15.
16 years, sir.
Tell me, come in, Simpson, approximately how many people have you buried for us during that time?
14,791, sir.
14,791, exactly. And I understand that of that 14,791, 14,750 have been buried since last Thursday.
Yes, sir.
By any standards, that's quite a sharp rise in productivity. Come in, Simpson.
Oh, thank you, sir. It was nothing.
How did he manage it, we're all asking ourselves. Well, I think if we look at the register of certified deaths in this town during the past week... namely, 4, we can perhaps glean a small clue.
Ah.
Yes, come in, Simpson. Even with my elementary knowledge of math, this would suggest that you have buried some 14,746 people who weren't actually dead.
Oh. They're dead now, sir.
They're dead now. They weren't at all dead when you nailed 14,746 lids on them and waved them goodbye beneath 6 foot of wet dirt, were they?
I had a cold, sir.
What?
I had a cold, sir.
Don't give me that.
All right, sir, I stand further away, sir.
Come back, I am finished. Come in, Simpson. I thought I'd explain this perfectly clearly to you when you started here. You only bury the ones that have died. Dead ones under the ground, alive ones on top. It's easier now to remember.
Well, it's not as simple as that, sir. There were a lot who was half dead.
Ah, yes. These would be the ones that you buried up to the waist.
Yes, sir.
Not a pretty picture, is it? Come in, Simpson. A cemetery with 396 pairs of legs sticking out of the ground. Oh, come on, what are you playing at?
Well, I thought it was time the undertaking market was expanded, sir.
Expanded? In what way?
Well, to live people as well, sir.
Live people? Look, would you stop doing that while I'm talking to you? Stop it!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the great Houdini will perform another of his fantastic miracle escapes. As you see, he is first placed into the straitjacket like so. The ends are tied tightly by volunteers from the audience.
That's it, nice and tight.
And he is then lifted into the sack, which is bound securely with 1-inch thick ropes. The sack is then placed into the mincing machine... inside which Mr. Houdini's body is completely shredded up until the bits come out through the metal grid at the bottom. Now, there's a big toe I can see. There's a kneecap. And, oh, madam, perhaps you'd like to pick up that piece of his body just there?
Do I have to?
Yes, please. And tell me if those are your initials.
Yep, they are.
Thank you very much, madam. And the shredded remains of the late Mr. Houdini are now emptied into the Kenwood blender. Where they are completely ground to dust and poured through a funnel into the pack of cards. So, now if we open the other end of the pack of cards.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
He has escaped again.
It was done with mirrors.
Yeah, we want the skipper.
We want the skipper. We want the skipper.
Republicans' convention looks like turning nasty, Mr. Prodnagat.
Yeah, you're right, Mrs. Houdini. I think maybe I ought to give them what they want.
Yeah. What I want to know is what about the striptease dancer who goes on and peels off all them black stockings and knickers and lacy underwear?
Yeah, well, you're on now.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's no use, Lola. The audiences just don't want to know. Maybe I should switch to singing or juggling.
Harry, your big thing has always been magic.
Don't change the subject.
Get your paper here.
Two rolls, please. Can I have a look at your New York Times? Oh, no. Just as I thought. The critics have slated me again. Listen to this. Death tank routine was wet and lifeless. Last night, an audience of 400 entertainment-starved New Yorkers were subjected to the tedious and yawnful spectacle of tired old vaudeville hack Larry Houdino performing his jaded water tank act.
How can they say such a thing, Larry?
At the start of the act, as always, the so-called master magician's arms were severed at the shoulder by qualified police constables. And a lady from the front row was invited up to remove any organ of her choice. The body was then flattened beneath a steamroller and cut into small squares, approximately 3 inches by 4 inches, which were distributed among the audience to prove there was no trickery. A postmortem was then carried out on stage by an authorized pathologist who duly certified Mr. Houdino dead. The remains of his body were then scattered into a tank of water, which was boiled over a gas ring, and steam collected and condensed in a small Tizer bottle. When the Tizer bottle was uncorked, Houdino leapt out, totally unscathed, to take his bow. How much longer do we have to endure this amateur trash when strippers of the caliber of Mr. Arthur Peace?
I've heard quite enough.
In today's profile on comedy, we visit the new one-night show at Her Majesty's Theatre by Siberian salt mine workers and native people all over the world who are, for one reason or another, Oxbridge comedy geniuses. Also, later on in the show, Wither Rowan Atkinson. A blast furnace manufacturer shows how it's possible. But first, the arts. Sitting next to me now is a dirty plastic Mac, partly occupied by Mr. Horace Mouthdribble of a London borough we won't mention in case it puts the local residents off going round the back of Sainsbury's ever again. Fine. Now, one understands you've just secured a very substantial grant from the Arts Council. A grant, in fact, for you to develop under the patronage of the said council the activities of the dirty old man as a significant art form. Now, tell me, what Luca Gobbling project are you engaged on at present?
Molesting the Royal Ballet.
Molesting the Royal Ballet.
Yeah.
I see. Now, to a layman such as we won't go into that, the aesthetic concept of putting up a major national dance troupe are still a little blurred. So perhaps we could just take a look now at this extract from one of your performances at Sadler's Well. Absolutely fascinating. Well, I'm sure viewers watching in radio only would love to know what you actually did there.
10 years.
Now, more recently, one gathers, you've been engaged on another work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe this one combines a greater degree of delimitation in the psycho-automatic exploration of post-Picabian free expression.
And this is...
taking the Doily Car Opera Company upstairs for a nice time.
Yes, this, by any standards, must rank as a pretty ambitious opus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In view of the fact that you live in a bungalow.
Quite.
So now, Mr. Mouthdribble, let's move on to some of the critical notices you received at the time for that performance, and I quote, Mr. Mouthdribble's attempts to offer the Prospect Theatre Company a nice bag of sweeties. Terrible, the Daily Telegraph. Awful, the Financial Times. Anomitable, the Guardian.
This one here liked it.
Oh, yes, the Chocolate and Confectioners Chronicle. Mr. Mouthdribble gives a whole new meaning to Macintosh's Rolo. Now, look, Mr. Mouthdribble, or may I call you, are you in any way worried by somewhat widespread alarm that you're being paid vast sums of public money despite the rather smutty nature of your activities?
Oh, not at all, yes.
Thank you, Angela. And I think if we move fast, we've just got time to fit in another quick one. This is from the BBC, and let's see what you think of this.
Hello, and welcome to David Vine shouting into a microphone at the Crystal Palace National Sports and Show Off Your Body Centre, where once again, butch men from all over their girlfriends have gathered to flaunt huge great lumps of flesh at the camera in another sparkling holiday edition of The Superstars.
And taking part in Superstars tonight are Kurt Oetze, the celebrated Dutch marathon cyclist and current holder of the sore parts of his bottom. Ons Boetskenhoog, the famous 22-year-old Belgian boxing champion from Bruges, whose neck is 8 inches wider than his head. Ladbrok Worms, the controversial Westphalian bobsleigh supremo who wrestles bulldozers and cracks nuts by coughing very loudly. Katola Yamiki Hemengrund, the crack 22-year-old skittles from Finland, whose vital statistics are 23 stone, 18 stone, 22 stone, and who does press-ups by lying on his back and pushing the world up and down. And Brat Turder, the 15-year-old infant beggarman neighbor prodigy from Czechoslovakia, as strong as an ox and almost half as nice smelling. Grok Volgodonks, the world-famous 25-year-old Romanian tug-of-war team, rumored by some to be the world's most athletic lover and currently married to a trampoline. Mel Gabarelli, the celebrated American fag card ace from Springfield, Missouri, holder of 857 Butchness titles, and in his spare time, Mount Rushmore. He's but by no means last, Britain's very own superstar from Hamburg, Kevin David Kevin sportswear promoter tax exile. The 22-year-old soccer nonpareil who exercises every morning by jogging 25 miles around his bank balance. And finally, also from Britain, champion Joe Bugner impersonator for 6 years running, Brian Jacks, the judo and karate masochist who keeps himself in regular agonizing pain by frying his feet in hot Mazola cooking oil. And also has regular workouts in the gym every day underneath the business end of a 73-ton power driver. Yes, these are the men who are going to compete tonight for the title of World Superstar 1979.
Well, the first 18 events were won by foreigners, so we're not going to show them. Instead, you join us now in the gym, where Brian Jacks is now up on the parallel bars and taking part in an event that he has now made his own. Viciously whipping yourself across the back with a piece of thick copper wire, as used in training by all thick coppers. Absolutely amazing stamina, this, from the 22-year-old Caucasian Homo sapiens here. 485, and he's already way in front of the others. But I was talking to one of his muscles earlier on, and he told me Jets' biggest ambition is to shatter his own personal record of 4,000,000,007 lashes, which you'll remember he set up in Helsinki last year, shortly before being admitted to the local mortuary for observation. Well, he's still got a long way to go. In the meantime, over to the racetrack and Ron Pickering.
Hello, this is Ron Pickering here at the start of the 500 metres, and there seems to be a slight hold-up at the moment.
Bang.
And now, Alex Turner in the lead. The plucky sales I'll check, is in the lead, followed by the 25-year-old flesh-coloured pedigree from Brunsk in the centre lane. Then comes the skin-coloured primate from the Netherlands and Pop Coca-Cola, the sinewy two-armed fin on the outside. So now it's the 5-foot-10-inch mammal now. The 5-foot-10-inch mammal followed closely by the multicellular Romanian with no hair on the palm of his hand.
And here comes the cordage now. The powerful Finnish vertebrate is pushing ahead now, ahead of the endoskeletal quadricentenarian from near the top avian banks of the River Olt. But here comes the non-reptilian. The brawny 6-foot Missouri frugivore is streaking ahead now, and he looks certain to win this race without any shadow of a doubt. Ah! Exploded once. Incredibly bad luck. Pepperelli has exploded there just as he was coming up to the last bend. And what a shame. This after such a promising start to the season by the American here. I think he'd only previously exploded in something like 8 of his 20 events. 3 of which only involved his head blowing up, so he was still able to keep running. Oh, what a pity that a tremendously gifted athlete. And if only he could just conquer this weakness for spontaneous detonation, I'm sure he would really get somewhere. Well, now over to David Vine shouting from the swimming bath.
And if you join us here in the superstar freestyle relay, each ultra out in front by a mile. Then come Worm, Bootkin Hoog, and our own Kevin sportswear promoter Tex Exile, who is, it must be admitted, suffering from a very unfair handicap in this event in being British. So over now to Ron Pickering in the gym.
And the tragic news here in the gym is that Brian Jacks has lost his chance of beating his own world whip the skin off your back record. We've never seen a disappointment like it. He was up to 4,000,000,003 strokes. Just 4 more self-inflicted stinging cuts across the back to go, and then disaster struck. Jacks turned into a moth. I think it's fair to say it took everyone by complete surprise here. He just formed himself into a pupa, recomposed his molecular structure inside the chrysalis, and then emerged almost immediately as a bagworm moth and fluttered away. Well, Jack's wife is, in fact, here in the crowd tonight, so let's go straight over for a word with her now. Mrs. Bagworm, have you any comment to make at all about your husband's decision to opt for insect metamorphosis there?
Well, as a matter of fact, there is something I've been wanting to get off my chest for some time now.
And what's that?
Eric Powell just cried.
Well... Well, Mr. Croydon, it's certainly a surprise to see your face in these parts.
Oh, no, yes.
Shouldn't it be on your head?
Well, the suspension's gone on me car, see?
Oh, I see, yes. Now, tell me, how have you been keeping?
Embalming fluid.
Welcome to Crystal Palace anyway. Now tell us, what race have you been taking part in today?
The final of the women's 100 metres, mate.
But they don't allow men in that.
I know, the qualifying event was murder.
Isn't it a panic? Well, I gather you had a hard time of it in the gymnasium.
Yeah, yeah, I was held up for a long time in the weightlifting.
What by?
A truss.
Thank you very much, Eric.
I used to play a lot of cricket once, you know. Only I was disciplined for whacking the umpire below the belt with my bat.
And what did you get for that?
2 boundaries. Here, I'll get a lot of these off scrap dealers, you know.
Will you shift your grotty little skeleton out of here before I shove this microphone right up your head?
Very quickly now, Hines. Did you enjoy that at all?
Well, personally, I thought it smacked too much of the former radio show, the Bertie Sway. So I'd vote it an ATV comedy.
Oh, dear. Well, that's a very great shame, because I have to tell you, I'm afraid, that we do, in fact, have with us tonight the Berkish Way's closing credits.
Oh, no.
Well, that special edition of the Berkish Way replaced the programme advertised in Radio Times. And next week at this time, Harry Worth begins a brand new series of 6 shows featuring his own inimitable brand of humour. That's right here on Radio 4.
Well, contrary to what the last gentleman might have told you, the Berkish team will, in fact, be back again, wreaking havoc at the same time next week.
Well, if anything I say can be taken seriously after all that, let me just tell you that next week sees the return of popular panel game My Word with Frank Muir and Dennis Norden, and in the chair, John Julius Norwich. That's My Word, here at the same time next week on Radio 4. Miss Norwich. That's My Word, here at the same time next week on Radio 4.